by a spotlight, and then you see the shadow on the wall. It is everything that he picks up. If he has biceps, you will trace it in the shadow. If he has broad chest, it will look like that in the shadow. If he has lust, so one of the things the Lord does is that he, by an act of his mercy, he shows us deep-seated darkness, which is still comfortably resident in us, when he lights his candle within us to uncover our darkness. When that's the best God will do for you, he will uncover it. And the reason why he will uncover it is so that you can stand back to deal with it. The way of dealing with it is available in the cross, but you need to take responsibility for that darkness. Because if you allow it to follow, then expect a chimpanzee with 1% alteration of the DNA. You will miss the image of Christ. But in the spirit realm, we don't have wrong. Whereas you are not the picture of the image of Christ, you will be the picture of something else. May the Lord help us. You may be seated. The burden for the night is how that people that were exposed to the genuine word of God eventually get to turn out to become products that are a departure from the expectation of what the word of God furnishes in the lives of men. In continuing this very critical emphasis, I'd like us to turn to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 17. There were a few warnings that the apostles gave. These warnings were critical emphasis that the Holy Spirit brought through these foundational ministers. And it must be understood that the grace that was at work on their lives when they gave these warnings was a signature type of grace that God intended to use as an instrument to inscribe in our hearts the ways of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. He said, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things. So, the people that are being spoken to here are not ignoramus. They have attended Young Ministers Conference and they know these things. In fact, the premise of the discussion is in view of the fact that there was a prior knowledge that was diligently distilled upon their hearts. So he said, seeing that ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also being led. The word also is my word in that scripture. Because the word also is a common ground of comparison. He's showing you the same trends that befell people that walk this path. And the apostles at this point are making us to understand that the fate of those people that departed the path is also possible for every believer if some things are not taken seriously. So he said, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So there are two things that we need to look at critically here. The first thing is, what is the error of the wicked? The error of the wicked has a tendency to make us fall from our steadfastness. Are you with me? So first of all, we need to find out what the error of the wicked is. Then secondly, we need to know the implication of the error of the wicked. It will make us fall from our own steadfastness. So our compliance barometer that we will use to identify whether we are already victims of the error of the wicked is that we will check our steadfastness. Was it here that I was trying to differentiate between when faith, are you with me? Now, can you close that door? Is it possible? Let's just, hallelujah, so that I can get your attention. I was making an attempt in a certain conference, I believe it was in the Lagos conference. I was making an attempt to show us the difference between faith as a verb and faith as a noun. Is it here? What it was in Lagos. Faith as a verb. I hope you know a verb is a doing word and it's an action word. So my first question to you is John 3:16, the word believe there, is it faith as a verb or faith as a noun? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth. If you say it is faith as a verb, it means that if someone just comes and says the sinner's prayer, he's bound for heaven. Because what faith as a noun means is the word faithfulness. That means you will continue believing in the Lord. What faith as a verb suggests is that when you just believe today, it covers everything. So faith as a noun means faithfulness. Huh? And if you study your Bible critically, which is one of the things I intend to do, maybe, what's today's date? Okay, we'll go on that journey the next few days. I need to show you a few things. Faith as a noun means faithfulness. Right? The reason why people say once saved, always saved is because they think faith is a verb. They are not aware that the faith of the New Testament is actually pistis, which is a noun. There is an act of believing, which is a verb. But the faith that our Bible speaks about is a continuing reality. You are not with me. You are not here. You are not here. Our faith is a now, is a continuing reality. If I have a challenge, I will need to trust Jesus. I will need to believe in the Lord. So it's continuous. What the devil does is that he sets you up so that you stop believing. You stop trusting. Then you become a victim of the error of the wicked. One of the reasons why the wicked is still termed wicked is because they have practiced wickedness and they were expecting judgment and no judgment came. So he has evaluated the situation and it seems there is no need for him to change his ways because he's been doing this thing for a long time. Meanwhile, the reason why God deals with us with the principle of long-suffering is so that we can have allowance for repentance. The purpose of long suffering is repentance. You are not with me. So the Bible says it is possible for us to be led away with the error of the wicked. That means the devil arranges a situation. Then I am set up. And I do something that is wrong. And because God does not judge me instantly, I remain in that wrong. That's the error of the wicked. The error of the wicked is not that you did wrong. It's that you remained in that wrong. Because the judgment of God was not visited upon you instantly upon the commission of that error. So there's a possibility for you to become a victim of this matter. Meanwhile, if you stay in an error for long, it means that you have started stopping to walk by faith. You no longer trust Jesus. You no longer believe in the things he says. And because of that, you can be comfortable in an error for a long time. Meanwhile, faith, pistis, is faithfulness. So despite the fact that my miracle has not come, I am still loyal to Jesus. Meanwhile, are you still with me? It is when you are consistent in your loyalty to Jesus, only those that are consistent to him and those that love his appearing are likely to be prepared for his coming. You understand that? When I say prepared for his coming, you must understand, I'm not talking about damnation. Because the next agenda in the kingdom, when resurrection takes place, and the coming of Jesus is going to occasion two things. The dead in Christ will rise first. So there's resurrection at his coming, because he's going to come and release the gift of immortality. Immortality is what will arrest the power of the grave and release those that are kept captive in Hades. Immortality is the reason why there will be rapture. Because life will be consumed. We consume humanity. That's how it's going to take place. So it comes to release the gift of immortality. And when he does this, he is going to commission the first stage of judgment, which is the judgment of the believer. Are you with me? You are not going to score good points if your track record is that you were found in the error of the wicked. Because before the judgment seat of Christ, there are two options of the outcomes. You can receive a reward, you can also receive a rebuke. And I need to tell you quickly the implication of receiving a rebuke before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, you're lost. Okay, let me not go too far. I was hearing an American preacher. And the American preacher was trying to... he was talking about the judgment seat of Christ, that there's only one outcome of the judgment seat of Christ, and it is a reward, a medallion, just like you run a race, and then you finish the race, you are going to get a reward for your running. So he never reveals the possibility of obtaining a rebuke at the judgment seat of Christ. And one of the reasons why you are going to obtain a rebuke is because you were led away by the error of the wicked. Your faithfulness is a proof that Jesus is your God. Faithfulness in spite of circumstances, in spite of situations, in spite of the pressure, your commitment, your allegiance is a proof that you have a God. Let me show you a few. Do you still remember Matthew chapter 7? He's saying, in that day, many Let me read it from Matthew chapter 7. These were victims of the error of the wicked. And one of the things that the error of the wicked will do to you is that it will deceive you to think that faith is a verb and that faith is not a noun. Because it will rob you of what? Steadfastness. Oh, you are not here. Faith as a noun means faithfulness. And faithfulness is the proof that all of your trust about your life is in the hands of Jesus in spite of the circumstances. That allegiance to Jesus, steadfast allegiance to Jesus, is the proof that you have faith in Jesus. And the state in which Jesus should meet us when he comes, according to him, he said, if the Son of Man should come, should he find faith? That word faith is not the verb. That word faith is the noun. People that are steadfast because they believe in me. So what this error of the wicked will do is that it will rob you of that steadfastness, which is faith, the noun. And you will be running on trusting that because you said a sinner prayer long ago, even though you are no longer steadfast, you are secure in the covenant that was made available to you. That's the error of what? Of the wicked. Let me show you a scripture quickly. You know what? I want to be found at my duty post when he shows up. That in spite of the fact that the economy in Nigeria is bad, I'm yet found at my duty post. In spite of the fact that our money can't buy anything, we are poor, I will be found. Where? The poverty of the land doesn't affect my faith. My faith and the poverty, they are two mutually exclusive events. And I choose to be steadfast. Steadfastness is a proof that you have pistis, which is faith. The now. Let me read. So this is just the first point. There are other points, other scriptures. The first point here is saying, you are likely to cease becoming steadfast because you are a victim of the error of the wicked. This complexity is what he is asking us to beware of. This is a possibility. It's a possible outcome that can result from your life. You become a victim, even though the truth has come to you. You eventually became a victim of what? Matthew chapter 7. Then I move to number 2. So this is number 3. Dan gave us 2 points. And these 2 points are based on colorations on our organs of perception. I'm going to build those insights into an edifice. Hallelujah. I've never heard that before, so I have to go on. Put a foundation on it. How many of you realize that Pastor Dan is a great teacher of the Word of God? You know, those days when we started the ministry, there were so many questions. I said, okay, for us to prove that we carry your spirit, oh, Pastor, should we begin to talk like you? I said, no, that's cloning. Cloning and cloning and covering are not the same. Why not just be yourself? Don't worry. Any one of you that God gives the grace to talk like me, let it be God. Let it be God. Don't labor at all to talk like me. Because God just needs only one of me, you know. And just be yourself. And we began to labor together. And today is my time to sit down. We have some fine men. Yeah, it's my time to sit down. So in a short while, I'll be coming for meetings or just sit down. Maybe at the end of the day, maybe if we have a conference and I'm sitting down for 7 days, on the 7th day, I'll just come and say, " And we are seeing a beauty of numerous assortments of grace flowing with ease as ordained by God. It's giving me an insight, an idea of how it was in the book of Acts of the Apostles. There are diversities of gifts, but it is the same Spirit. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. These are believers that became victims of the error of the wicked. Most of the time, the error of the wicked is a product of, it's a consequence of the fact that people saw the riches of God's long-suffering and then they despised the possibility of accountability. That is a proof that the deception of sin, of error, of missing the mark, has caught up with their soul. So you ask the question, how is it that someone that is awake and aware, adequately enlightened by the word of God, turns out to be corrupt? The answer is, they became victims of the error of the wicked. They say, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Are you there? I need to explain that first half of the scripture. Do you realize that the Bible says that anyone that calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Is that in your Bible? So these guys that say, Lord, Lord, were actually saved. They were saved. Their names were written in the book of life. I need to tell you about the dispensation, because this scripture is a dispensational scripture. Because of my many journeys and many travels, I have not been lecturing in the Bible school. So when I traveled and I stretched myself and Satan attacked me and I was at home, so the Bible school people came and said, okay, you're at home now. Come and teach. So next time I will not need to be struck. Before we come and teach, there are some things I need to show you. You know what? I need to open the whole Bible and show you this. These are the dispensations. There's a mathematics in the scripture that if you know it, I'll give you some mathematics. If you can, memorize it. No one can deceive you with the Bible again. I'm more concerned about you having a general overview of the Bible in your brain first. This scripture here, dispensation, is affecting. I will show you several things that affect scripture. One of it is geography. I will show you that coloration. I will show you the dispensational coloration. I will show you a few colorations here. So that some scriptures, you will see, they will say it was during the time of the barley harvest. What's the meaning of that? Now, if you see that in the scripture, what does it mean? During the time of the barley harvest. Well, don't worry. There are some scriptures that agriculture affect. Because there is a particular feast that is done during the time of the barley harvest. If you don't know that agricultural sign is a pointer to one feast, you will not be able to interpret that scripture very well. Is that clear? Now, this is one of the scriptures that dispensation is affecting. And 60% of the erroneous interpretation of the Bible is in the book of Matthew. And this is one of those complex scriptures. The Bible says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, these guys, number one, they were born again. And then the part of the scripture that confuses most people is the use of the word kingdom of heaven. So the evangelical translates this to mean that someone, condemnation, are you with me? That these believers were condemned. They, they suffer the same fate as unbelievers in the end. No. Even though it is possible for a believer to lose his salvation and suffer the same fate as unbelievers in the end, that is not what this particular scripture is saying. Now, after this age, I hope you know the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and then what's the next item in the and judgment? So many times when you see kingdom of heaven, you need to understand where this scripture is situated within the framework of dispensations. So that moment, that time when God will demand accountability from his followers is in the next dispensation. This is not the time when God will come to set scores, set things right with his fellow workers. The dispensation in which God will demand accountability for every work that is done, it is in the coming age, in the next agenda of the kingdom. And that next agenda is judgment. And I want you to understand that there are three types of judgment in the Bible. The first judgment, I had to do a study on these matters. The first judgment is the judgment seat of Christ. Yeah, the judgment seat of Christ. The second judgment is the judgment of the living unbelievers. And then the third judgment is the judgment of first judgment, judgment seat of Christ as the judgment of believers. Second judgment is the judgment of living unbelievers. And then the third judgment, which is a white throne judgment, is the judgment of dead unbelievers. Three judgments. The one that concerns you is the judgment seat of Christ. And guess who is the judge? It's Jesus. And guess the principle of justice and judgment. What's the principle of justice and judgment? Because I will show you the principle of justice and judgment in each case when we study this. Who can tell me the principle of justice and judgment under the auspices of the white throne, of the judgment seat of Christ? It is righteousness that was revealed through works. That is what is judging to identify. Righteousness revealed through what? Or righteousness by works. How were you saved? You were saved by grace through faith. You are not with me. Can we try again? I'll try one more time. If you can't get it, then we'll just forget about it. You were saved how? By grace through faith. But you'll be judged how? By righteousness through works. Don't forget that. You know, Reverend Gideon said that it is our labor that God will judge. It's our labor that he will reward. And all of that is factored into the judgment seat of Christ. This scripture suggests a point at which a believer will be subject to some form of accountability. And that positions this scripture at the judgment seat of Christ. It is not within this dispensation. It is within the dispensation of justice and judgment. Is that clear? I say, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so let's try again. Now, if I had my timetable here or my board here, I would have written for you. After death, then we have the judgment seat of Christ. Then after judgment seat of Christ, we have marriage supper of the Lamb. After marriage supper of the Lamb, then we have millennial kingdom. That is what I'm going to do when I come for Bible school. Right? I will show you step by step, then show you some scriptures that you cannot understand if you don't know what is next. Show you some scriptures that point to the millennial reign, some scriptures that point to the judgment seat, some scriptures that point to the marriage supper. Is that clear? Stay with me. So the Bible says, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Stop there. We want to find out now what the Bible means by the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Underline, do it. Do it. Do you realize that I told you that the system of justice and judgment before the judgment seat of Christ is righteousness that was revealed through your word? So he says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of my Father, but he that doeth the will of my Father. So we have doeth there, and we have the will of my Father. That means it is possible for you to do something that was not the will of his Father, and that means that your activity was unauthorized. A pastor came to my office and he said, man of God, I've been having visions. It seems God is calling me to do something, but I'm not very clear. I told him, I said, the one you are serving, there is no need for you to do anything if you are not clear. He has the resources to make it clear to you. If it's not clear, it means it's not time. Don't make up anything and take off like a tornado. And then he will say, this thing you did is unauthorized. Because what he checks there is what the will of his Father. And the will of his Father became your preoccupation. And what that's what you spent your resources, you spent your life, you spent everything to achieve. Aha. Then it will register before the judgment seat of Christ. That's not where you come and guess. It's a place of exactitude. So if you are not sure of it, that's the reason why, even though it was obvious that the anointing was growing, Jesus had not made it clear to me to resign. That's why I didn't resign until he spoke to me. Meanwhile, everybody had prophesied that it's time for you to leave your job. Okay, I will not leave my job because you said God says so. Who am I obeying? You or God? Do you understand that? So I waited for him. I waited for him until he came and he spoke himself. And when he spoke himself, I said, even though your voice is clear, for me to be double sure, use other people to talk to me. And in how many days? So I knew it was him. And he's never angry that you asked for additional confirmation. Because he knows the gravity of doing. That is what is going to register on the dashboard. At the judgment seat, that his Father's will was done. So I left my job to come into full-time ministry at the directive of Jehovah. Do you know that it was possible for me to have left that job maybe 1 year before the time? It was not according to the directive of the Father. So my leaving will not have any value. No value. It was not in obedience to his direct instruction. So it will have no value. You know, when we begin to mature in God, we come to a level where what we want to achieve is to do the Father's will, not our own thing. Just, that's why we are living. That's why we're upon the face of the earth. How many of you have reached there? That place where you know that the reason why you are living is just to live, to do his will. How many of you have reached there? It's not a hard place to be. It's not a hard place to be. That's where I am. Living to do. Okay, so it means those of you here are living to do your own thing. Then it means you are a victim of the error of the wicked. You're already a victim. It's a place you come in your walk with God, you know that that is what matters. Whether or not you prosecuted the will of the Father. Is that clear? Right, so it's not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, not anyone that is born again shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. We are going to see what the kingdom of heaven means. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Next verse gives us some insight. Next verse. Are you there? Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done mighty works. Are you convinced that these guys were born again now? So the context here, as you will see in the next scripture, is the judgment seat of Christ, because it is an arena of accountability. Listen to me. Listen and listen carefully. Listen carefully. Because there are three courses I said I will do here. The first course is the believer's passage through death, because all of you are afraid of death. When they say death, say, no, calm down. We'll have to see it from the Bible. The second thing is the technology behind resurrection. Third thing is the judgments. Which are these three levels of judgment? I will teach you and show you what it is. And then prepare you on how to engage life here. Because an accurate believer must, his reference point must be the judgment seat of Christ. He must be living with a sense of accountability in view. You understand that? Now, if he loses that sense of accountability, he will lose his reference. He will become a victim of the age. He will become a victim of the spirit of the age the moment he loses that reference point, which is the judgment seat of Christ. That's the exam you want to pass. I know how you prepared for GST. You have not written GST now. People have escaped. They are cramming. You prepare for GST. I'm telling you, there's an exam. Jesus is coming to invigilate your life. It's not a thing of threat. If your passion for life is to prosecute the will of God, it's a thing of joy. Don't be afraid. Just become accurate. Labor to be accurate. And it will be a thing of joy when you hear that the person that will mark the scripts is Jesus. Oh, that's a good thing. So I'm not afraid. Who told you that doing the will of God is boring? The devil is a tyrant. Don't spend one day serving him. Don't even have doubts about God, because God is good. Spend your life serving his will. So many shall see unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? What did Jesus say? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk. Can you underline walk? You see, the problem is their walk. And their walk is iniquity. What is iniquity? What's the meaning? Okay, what is the meaning of trespass? Okay, what's the meaning of transgression? The same thing. Their words are apart. What's the meaning of sin then? Okay. Hallelujah. Hear me. They are not even remotely the same. They are not remotely the same. Iniquity is using your will against the will of God. Anytime you see iniquity, the emphasis is will. You see, that scripture says, he that doeth the will of my Father. It means that your Father has a will, and you decided to use your will to be doing something else. So you walked iniquity with your life. You did not walk the will of the Father. Anytime there is a contradiction between God's will and man's will, it means that harmony is lost. The harmony that should bind the heavens and the earth is lost. So these guys had another agenda. This is the error of the wicked. And they did this thing till the end. Because they were deceived by the error of the wicked. When they went into the error, God did not charge at them. So they felt it was also good, and they continued. And he didn't disturb them. They were casting out devils. He didn't disturb them. When the man came to the judgment seat, and he checked to see if the will of the Father was done, he found out that these guys were running on a scale that was dissociated from the will of the Father. They were careless about what the Father's will was. A senior minister in Nigeria went to see my father, the Lord. Name withheld. Because if I call the name now, this place will begin to. The person I'm talking about is one of the first seven in Nigeria. So he came to see my father and the Lord in Zaria. I wanted to invite him for an occasion. So he now asked my father and the Lord, why are you here in Zaria? My father and the Lord was the first consultant medical doctor in Nigeria that went full time in the history of Nigeria. The first consultant. You understand that? Do you consider such a man a novice? Those days, medicine was 5 years undergraduate, 5 years postgraduate. He did 10 years in studying medicine. And it is not, any simple aspect of medicine study. He studied internal medicine, where all the bookworm is. And he was good at it. Then the Lord encountered him, and he accepted to go. My father and the Lord now told this man, I'm talking about is in the first seven. He told him that if by any means he had a slightest notion that God didn't want him to be in Zaria, he would have left long time ago. You know what the man said? All this bombing taking place and attempt at his life to kill him, is that not God talking? God is talking through bomb. Talking through. When he shared this with us, because we are his sons, anytime we go to him, he gives us. He will give you a lecture, but he will not draw the lessons for you. If you are hearing, he that has ears, let him hear. You know the fear that came upon my heart? If a man of that standing in the body of Christ doesn't believe, doesn't think that being diligent to follow the voice of God is critical, then what has he been teaching for all these years? That was my fear. I left that room of counsel with great fear. The people he has been teaching, he has been setting them up. The reference point of the believer is the judgment seat of Christ. So when you see the texture of this scripture, you will know where this scripture is situated dispensationally, and it is situated at the judgment seat of Christ. So you might ask me, these people that receive the rebuke at the judgment seat of Christ, what is their faith? Is it everlasting? Who is asking that question? Okay, so someone is asking. Say this one. Will they go to hell? It is part of the things I will give you in the lecture. So, after this judgment, are you with me? You know, I gave you a chart. I say, death. The next item on the kingdom agenda is what? Judgment. Then the next item on the kingdom agenda is what? The marriage supper of the Lamb. Then the next item is what? The millennial reign. Good. So, if the Bible says here that these ones will be disallowed entrance into the kingdom, what's the next item of the kingdom that is after the judgment seat of Christ? Marriage supper. It means they will be excluded from the marriage supper of the Lamb, and I will show you what will be happening to them. Because the ultimate reason for our salvation is that God will do what he could not do in Adam. He's going to do the same thing again. And that is what is captured in what we call the New Jerusalem. And I can show you the similarities between the Garden of Eden and the arrangement in the new civilization called the New Jerusalem. And there is no single believer that will be part of that civilization that still carries rebellion as his outcome. So there are disciplines that God will still discipline people after this life. So stay with me until we come for the teaching. Then you will see that some people will not be allowed into the marriage supper of the Lamb. I know when I said that, you did like this. How many of you still remember the parable of the 10 virgins? And they were waiting for the bridegroom, because the event that was situated after that era was the marriage supper of the Lamb. It was within that context that we had believers that were called foolish. And their foolishness was revealed in the fact that they had no reserve oil. When they rose up from their sleep, they realized that their oil had burned out. And the wise virgins gave them counsel. When they asked for oil, he said, not so. Not no. The answer was not no. It was what? Not so. That means that's not how we do it here. You don't give someone your own oil. Here, we don't do it. You borrow in London. You borrow in Canada. You borrow in Holland. You borrow in Jagule. But in that place, not so. They say, go and buy. What's the meaning of buy? How do you buy something? You pay a price to get it. So even in the afterlife, some people will pay a price. I will show you there are four categories of prices. Those are the things those guys will be preoccupied with when the marriage supper of the Lamb is going on for accurate people that serve the will of God. If you know the price of being a victim of the error of the wicked, you will not be part of it. Go and buy from them that sell. Hallelujah. So these guys were not allowed to partake of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And there are some people that will not be allowed to partake of the millennial reign. You know, we have marriage supper of the Lamb. It's from there that the great Enoch saw the vision that God, Jesus, was descending with 10,000 sins. Thousand sins. It's from the marriage supper of the Lamb that he will be descending to come and rule in the earth for 1,000 years. Some people will still be paying a price during that 1,000 years for their rebellion while they were given the opportunity of the pilgrimage of the kingdom in this life. A lot of people think it ends here. Sorry. We are going to do a diligent Bible study. And I will show you strand after strand, the journey of the spirit of a man after the stage of this life, so that you will never be a victim of the error of the wicked. So that when you see people doing something, you can say they can do it, but not me. Oh, they can steal, but oh, they can manipulate, but what? Because there's a point of accountability, and the basis of the accountability is righteousness that was revealed through your dealings, through your works. And there will also be the dashboard is sensitive to recall whether your life was spent in prosecuting the will of God. That is a place where we don't have big men. Because every man will be small in the eyes of Jesus. So today I will make Jesus my love. because he's going to be my judge tomorrow. That when he sees me approaching the throne for judgment, let him begin to sink. There'll be no need to cross-examine me. Because the dashboard will be saying jackpot. If you judge yourself now, the Bible says there will be no need for you to be judged. So the moment that lust begins to leap, you take a fast and you say, Lord, there is a strange fellow among my members. If you lose the virtue of sincerity, you will lose the ability of pleasing this great one that knows everything, he even knows your thoughts. How do you deal with such a person? This is with the virtue of what? You will have many opportunities to be a crook, many opportunities to swindle people, many opportunities to take advantage. The reason why genuine people will not is because they know there is a judgment seat. So they shut down those tendencies. They deny self. And they take off their cross and they follow him. When I came to final year on campus, I have developed some teaching ability in the Word of God, even as at that time. So people used to want to come around where I teach because they believe that one or two things will come from God. And there was another guy who was a very strong preacher. He was a preacher and I was a teacher. So in final year, we became roommates. You would think that our being roommates will produce revival. That was the expectation. The young man said, I hope you know I'm senior to you in ministry. I said, no, I'm not competing. I know. Yeah. He went to the cupboard and brought a sack. And told me that all the messages he will preach this year, they are in this sack. Anytime he has an invitation, anytime he has an invitation, he will take one message that he has from the sack and pray in tongues and go and preach it with power. That means there's no need for fellowship again to know what is on the mind of God. You just take off like a tone. You have it up in the sack. That's a performer spirit. That's a performer. That's someone that is a victim of the error of the wicked. You have adopted a civilization that has excluded you from the need to seek the face of the Lord. Because seeking the face of the Lord is difficult. People have devised means of survival apart from the Lord. In the training I received from him, because the first training is, get a sack and develop all the messages that you preach that you put inside. And then if you want to preach, take at random. Your random selection is the move of the Holy Ghost. That's the first lecture. Then after a long time again, he shut the door and he said, there's another lecture. I said, okay. The second lecture was, no man can overcome fornication. Ah, you are not with me. But when you do it, don't be caught. Because when you are caught, you are not here. Because when you are caught, the anointing will leave you. But if you are not caught, it will be flowing. What did he say? No man can overcome fornication. This was deep ministry secret. That is how you will become if You are not seeing a place of accountability. That is the error of the wicked. He doesn't see accountability. All he sees are the days of this life. He doesn't know that there is a rigid system of events in the kingdom that transcend your pilgrimage in this life. We graduated. I was going to youth service. He told me he's not going for your youth service. He's going straight into ministry. So that by the time I'm finishing youth service, he would have gained mileage. Surprisingly, when I finished youth service and started working in Abuja, 1 year into that job, Jesus encountered me and gave me the vision of this ministry and said, your place of primary assignment, your takeoff point, launching pad is Makurdi. Are you here? Meanwhile, the guy had a head start. All those, my youth service year, 2 years in Abuja, he was already in ministry. It was in the third year that I got posted here. That third year, I came in March. We did prayer and fasting from March to March. That's 4 years. Then we started teaching. That was when one day he came to my house and said, I should come and minister for you. So I went. The church was in a primary school. So that head start he was talking about, I saw it. I saw the head start. He told me that ministry requires struggle. Struggle. That if he struggles for 10 years, he is going to become the star of the city. That I should not be ashamed of struggle. Do you know what happened? Before the 10 years, the church closed down. The closing down of that church was an act of mercy for God to rescue his son. But he was already entrenched deeply in the error of the wicked. Told me that this is your prayer. The reason why you pray for long and cry is that you have a prayer ministry. But me, the reason why I don't need to pray too much, because we were in the same room, I'll be running 5 a.m. to my prayer room. I will still come back from prayer, meet him sleeping. He said, I should not think we're on the same level. Him is a minister of the word. Me, I'm a prayer minister. We're not the same. Don't even... You are a small boy. You have not started this. Where? Until one day, I was at home. Then he came in and said, there's a problem. I said, what's the problem? There's a big problem. I said, please, what's the problem? Sit down. He said, no, you can't sit down. Ah, this problem. I said, okay, please, what is it? 40,000 naira. 40,000 naira is the problem that we I say, well, I have 20. Can he manage that? See, why will he not manage it? Like, did he tell me before he came here? I while he was going, I wept. Because even till that time, he didn't know that the reason why he was resisted by the Lord was to deliver him from the error of the wicked. And there was nothing you could tell him that would change his perspective, because there was an issue of coloration on his receptacle. Can we pray? It's just one prayer point. That we will not be victims of the error of the wicked. We will not be victims. That we will be steadfast, even if there's no rain, no sign, that the prayer you are praying holds a possibility. Nothing will take steadfastness away from you. Nothing will take it from you. Nothing will take it from you. Nothing will take it from you.
I pledge allegiance to the Lord with all my strength, with all I am. I will see to one of these coming. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Friend. Jesus must be your first audience. The first person that you want to please. The first person that you want to please. Santa Babore. One more time, my prayer. Somina Lego Saita Cambreta Suminala. Yema Sakino Bondo Borosca Tetema. Yamos Calibone.
Jesus, I want to be your friend.
You have no fear when it's your friend that is sitting as the judge. In fact, as you are approaching, he will call you by your nickname. I want to be your friend. I
want to be intimate. Open the door of intimacy to me. And all the days of my life will be spent in giving you pleasure. Soremo mosika salanto re abisalem ina halaba. Ika me kose sali kora bata menso selamande. Briska baratoske. Leno neno mosoko sali magadia. Lesi se kedemo koto molokore.
For the cost of Jesus still goes on, and now our time has come to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross, and one by one, let us leave our lives for the one who died to give us life. Let us gladly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to you. With all I am, I receive to
Corinthians chapter 3 verse 15 as we round up the prayer. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 15. I'd like you to look at this scripture very closely, because when we start the teaching of snapshots of the afterlife, that's what the caption, I guess it will take us like four days. We might be starting from here. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Underline suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved. That means his suffering loss at the judgment seat of Christ doesn't mean damnation. Do you understand that? So it's when we begin that course that you will understand what suffer loss means. So these are not issues of damnation we are talking about, but talking about issues of kingdom losses. Secondly, this his being saved is actually an escape, because he saved yet so as by fire. I will explain again in that lecture what the Bible means by saved by fire. So we need to be delivered from the error of the wicked so that we'll not suffer loss. That means we need to be steadfast, and our lives must be characterized by faith, which is a noun, which means faithful. You will find so many scriptures in the Bible speaking about the need for steadfastness. How did the apostles continue? And they continued. You will find many scriptures in the book of Colossians saying if you need to get rooted, you need to get grounded in the faith. It shows a continuous process of commitment. How do you become powerfully graced in prayer? I saw you. Switch off your phone when you come to church.
How do you become public grace when you come in the place of prayer? It's by continuing in it. Steadfast. That's how we become everything that God wants us to become. It doesn't give you at the starting line, but when you proceed, you begin to gain more rank, more grace. So the call is a call to steadfastness. For the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. Faith is the principle of living. It's not an activity. I will not suffer loss. Because I'll make Jesus my number one audience. Can you make that commitment from your own heart? You don't need to be loud, just you and Jesus. My preoccupation will be to prosecute your counsel. I will trust you enough to release my life for you to order. I will serve you enough as the only one that is worthy of my focus, of my consistency. And my passage through time will be a passage of kingdom service. Spending and being spent to do the will of God. That will be my story. In the name of Jesus. Finally, I want to share a testimony. A brother all the way in Australia heard a message about sacrifice and went to God and said, "Lord, what do you want me to sacrifice?" And he was on a long fast. And for those of you that come from the East, you know what land that you inherited. You know how powerful it is. Yes, he's the first son, but he's not the only one that owns the land, since he has a younger brother. The Lord says that he should give that land to me. I don't know. So he now called the family and sold the idea of the entire family sowing the land. See, doing the will of God is not the easiest thing. But for kingdom people, that's the only thing. Meanwhile, in Oka, which is where the land is, the brethren gathered money, went and rented the land, I don't know for how many years, and then built a building so that we have a place to be praying. When the owner saw that they built on it, even though it was lease, they came and asked for it to be returned. Was an agreement. But on such matters, Jesus said, so that we will not offend, because they were asking Jesus to come and pay temple tax, and temple tax is not for Israelites, it's for proselytes. And Jesus said, so that we will not offend, that means Jesus will not claim his right. If claiming his right will involve a fight, I said, there's no need for us to fight, so that we will not what? And they left to where they rented, and they are praying. And if there's any place that needs prayer, it's Oka, because of human sacrifice, bloodshed. And God came upon the heart of that. He's in Australia. Called the family members, video calls, and every member of the family, including their mom, because their dad is late, accepted to come and give the land as a seed on behalf of the family. So the mother came here yesterday. an intellectual that lectures in University of Nigeria on Soka, came here with the papers. But my family have decided to. She didn't know, none of them knew what happened to us in that land. And God moved. And they came and gave me the land. I said, we give you this property. And some utterances began to come forth. Because I've never seen that before. Strange utterances began to come forth. Do you know the God of the Bible? There is no way, as long as time endures, that God will forget that family. You know why? Because God doesn't take his will lightly. I WhatsApped our brethren in Oka. Because as they left that land, not to offend, see what God did. He has brought. See, do the will of God. God speaks to you and says, that widow, give her 200,000. And you pray about it, the thing is still there. You can't shake it away. You try. You say, hey, come on. The thing is still. You know what? Stop the prayer. He that doeth the will of my Father. I've gotten, I know how to obey quickly now. May we excel in obedience. The family may not know, but as long as prayers go on that ground until the end of time, prayers, generations after generations, will be drinking from the dividend of that obedience that was done on the family level. You know, many families join themselves to evil altars. This one came and said, our inheritance, obeying the will of God is what matters. And anyway, our brother is right now in Australia. The whole house of this clan, intercessors all over the nations, we bless you and we bless your household. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Please let's pass the offering basket around. Online audience, the account details are displayed there for you to cast your own seed, your own offering. We are also currently in the midst of a very massive building project. Our camp land. So if you are moved by the hand of God to sow seed, please go ahead and do that without delay. Please display the account number. There are some individuals in our midst that may wish to do a transfer, bank transfer of their own offering. Please, media, display the account details on the screen for anybody that is interested in doing a bank transfer. Tomorrow, media, please display the account details on the screen. That is it. If you are here, if you wish to do a bank transfer, that is the account details. And for our online audience, the board, the dialog box, the YouTube channel is hosting all the various account details. Anyone that is compatible with your location, you can lay hold on it and exercise your do your offering. Amen. Tomorrow will be power and prophetic service. So if you know anybody that is molested or tortured by the hand of darkness, by way of any form of infirmity, or you are harboring any affliction in any part of your member, you are invited, you are advised to come trusting God for his touch and his visitation. And that Wednesday service will mark the last service for the week, because we are reverting back to our previous schedules. As from Thursday, we diffuse into the various locations in the city, in home cell fellowship, in order to offer incense in various locations. Amen. So please rise up now as we shut down for today. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever, ever. Amen.